We seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our viewers all over the world to another edition of our program, Islamic Studies. This program is being broadcast to you by Sahar Universal Network from the Islamic Republic of Iran, from the holy city of Qom, and I'm your regular host on this program, Ijaz Hussain. The program I'd like to recap from last week was about Islamic ethics, and I just like to recap for viewers what we were discussing in that program with our expert on that occasion. And it was the fact that we were talking about the goal of Islamic ethics was purification. That's the whole concept of why Islam makes great emphasis on morals and the perfection of morals in mankind so that he can be purified for the life hereafter, both in this world and the life hereafter. And we also talked about the sources from where we can derive these morals and these concepts, because of course it is the Creator who knows the human being, and therefore we look to the source of the Quran, the revelation, but we also look to the hadith and also towards the behavior, the conduct of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, may God's blessings be upon him and his holy family. And of course, we were also talking about the foundations in Islamic ethics, which are based on beliefs, faith, and through that faith, we try to understand the concept of moral behavior. So that was the recap basically from that particular session. Today, we are moving on an entirely different topic. We're going to look at something much more fundamental in terms of human understanding of political systems throughout the world. And we're going to do it with the comparisons of Islam and politics. And we'll do that after a short break. So please stay with us. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies. I'm your host, Ijaz Hussain. There will be an email and a website subtitled on the screen. Please use it if you feel that you want to make any contribution towards the program. We'd love to hear from you as usual. I'd like to introduce my guest in the studio on the subject of Islam and politics, and I have the honor and pleasure of introducing Dr. Behrouzi. I hope I've said your name correctly, sir. You are a professor at the University of Bakr al-Loom, which is the great science university here in Qom. A very warm welcome to you, sir. Salam, and thank you for being on the program.
Yeah. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, I'm very happy that I had such a chance to attend in your program. At first, let us start by identifying our discussion about the Islamic politics.
Of course, of course.
Yeah. At first, we must distinguish between the terms of the politics and yes. political thought
sure.
or political studies
yes.
and political action. Of course, politics usually is used for a kind of a science, studying the political actions by experimental methods. Yeah,
sure, absolutely. Because they do call it in modern day terminology.
Although
in
modern
history,
term,
we,
yeah,
we understand from the Greek history and also so on and so forth. But you're right; it's now called political science because, as you say, there are more
or
empirical methods used.
Or
yes.
political science here. Yeah. The methodology is experimental, and it is a modern kind of approach in studying the politics.
Sure.
Of course, the other terminologies, terms like political thought, mm-hmm. refers to any understanding, any thinking about the politics and political action and in this regards. Of course, we have other vocabularies like political philosophy.
Yes, terminology.
Yeah,
yes.
terminology, mm. political mm. ethics, mm. even in Islamic studies, political jurisprudence and
yes,
something
political
like
jurisprudence,
this.
Of course.
Political ethics and something like
sure,
this.
Sure.
So we must at first distinguish between the subject of study, it is the subject is political action.
Of
yeah.
course,
the
course.
Science or the discipline
yes.
studies this subject is called in different ways. One branch of political studies, political science. Others are like political philosophy, political jurisprudence, and other things.
Of course. I mean, there are, as you quite rightly point out, Professor, there are many aspects to just discussing the theory of politics.
Yeah.
But of course, the ultimate aim is the action that we, the result that we get out of what we understand this thinking to be. Yeah.
It means that we, scientists and scholars have studied the political action from different approaches.
Yeah? Exactly.
One approach is experimental, and its methodology is the experiment. And this approach is called political science.
Political
science. But other disciplines differ in this regard.
True.
They do not use direct use from the experiment. For example, in political philosophy, we use our intellect to think about the political action.
Yes.
Anyway, so our conclusion here is that there is one subject that is the political action, and different approaches for studying this subject,
sure,
like political science, like political philosophy, like political thought, political jurisprudence, political ethics, and different branches of political studies.
Sure, because that basically led us to our next question, which was to identify and categorize these particular aspects of what we call political science today.
Or maybe...
Or modern politics, if you like.
Yeah. These branches and these approaches are different, but the similarity here is that they all concentrate upon the political action, studying and explaining the political action.
Sure.
So it is better for us to identify and define our definition about the political action. What is the political action?
Sure.
Political action is identified and several definitions offered for this term. What is the political action? Some people regard political action in relationship to power, social power.
Exactly.
Here it means that anybody obliges other people, other side, to obey his desires. So here the political action happened. And we can call this relationship between the two persons as a political action.
Sure.
Here, political actions refers to kind of a power between people, between groups, between society.
Sure.
It means that at least two sides must be in this relationship.
Sure.
For that we can call it as a political action.
In other words, you're saying it's a two-way relationship.
Yeah.
In other words, you know, somebody has to
initiate
the action,
and
somebody has to obey
the
action.
Somebody orders and other obeys.
Obeys, exactly.
Of course, in real politics, it may be mutual.
It may be mutual,
not one side.
No.
Each side tries to order and influence other side,
sure,
and reach to his own goals.
Well, this is why we say that, for example, I know you'll explain this later on, Professor, I don't mean to jump the gun, but in terms of the fact that, you know, this is why we have constitutions in terms of what nation states do, because this is like asking the consent of the people that you're ordered or asked to obey in a certain way or behave in a certain way, and people consent to that. They say, yes, we are prepared to do according to what they understand their system to be, their system of politics to be.
Of course, we must go on by this definition that political action refers to power relationship between
power relationships,
society.
Absolutely.
And in this regard, one side orders, other side usually obeys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in this regard, different layers are distinguished in political action. For example, the obvious and clear relationship is by force. When somebody forces other side to obey him, it is the clear politics.
Yes.
And we call it as a force. Politics here means force.
The political
And the obvious, the obvious force. Yeah.
Mm, yes.
But in institutionalized and formal and legal kind of a politics, people do not usually use the obvious force.
No, but they use the law. They use the law in
this
a way
legal.
To. Yeah,
because
legal
of
means,
his
yes.
legal position, one person orders and other people obey him.
Yes.
So in institutionalized way of the politics, we do not use direct force.
No.
Yeah. Because our positions are defined and everybody knows that who can order other people and who must obey.
Well,
yeah? We call this kind of a politics, this layer of the politics, as authority.
Authority yes.
in
yes.
politics means legal.
Yes.
And maybe legitimized power.
Absolutely.
Yeah? Here it is clear. The commander or maybe the president must order and other people must obey because it is legal.
Sure.
It is by legal methods that this president is chosen to order and other people must obey him.
Exactly.
And we call this aspect of the politics as a institutionalized or formal aspect of the politics.
Formal
yeah.
aspect of
or
the politics.
Or maybe we call it as a legitimized kind of the politics.
Politics.
This politics
yes.
is legitimate.
Yes,
yeah?
yes.
Of course, nowadays, scholars have distinguished third aspect of the politics.
Right, okay.
And this is the soft power.
The soft power,
yeah.
right.
In soft power, maybe the order hides himself.
Ah.
We may not find the order, but we see that according to the method of the hegemony, yeah.
Yes.
The orderer.
It is kind of understood.
Yeah.
That this is what we have to do, or this is the way
yeah,
we have
yeah,
to obey.
Yeah,
because
okay.
what you're really saying is that, of course, in soft power, it's through the media, it's through other ways of persuasion, we say in inverted
persuasion,
commas,
yeah, okay.
in inverted commas, to influence people of different cultures to behave in
soft
a certain way.
Soft power is defined in this way that when somebody tries to oblige somebody, other people, not directly.
No.
Through the media.
Indirectly, yes.
Yeah. He tries to convince somebody, tries to make other people's understanding through the media or other methods. It is indirect.
Sure.
Use of the power.
Sure.
The person obeys, think that he has done the action voluntarily without any power.
Sure.
But in reality, he's obliged to obey.
Yes.
But he himself does not.
Does not realize
yeah.
it. Because this is a very interesting aspect that you raise now
yeah.
in terms of the thinking of
yeah.
modern day politics.
Yeah.
Because really, it is this soft power that is being mostly used because it's an influence on the culture, on the way people
yeah.
think. This is why, you know, particularly in this sensitive region, particularly in the
yeah.
Middle East, we talk more about this kind of soft
yeah.
power politics, because it's like, you know, asking a people of a different culture to obey another different culture,
yeah.
but they don't realize that they're doing it because
yeah, yeah.
they have been ingrained, what we call either westernization or whatever it happens to be, but whatever is going in, they are, you know, indirectly obeying the hegemony, as you
yeah.
say, of
the time.
It is called
hegemony. Yeah,
yes.
Here, the face of the power is hidden.
Yes,
yeah?
The face of the power is
yeah.
hidden.
Maybe some the person obeys, yeah, may do not feel any influence upon himself.
No,
yeah?
No.
He thinks that he is voluntarily does the action.
Yes.
Yeah? Anyway. In Islamic thinking, we have these third aspects. In the Quran, we see that somebody make Pharaoh. We're using the force, yeah? It is the power
the
of the force,
yeah.
yeah? Of course, in formal way, in legitimate way, we have a power. For example, Holy Prophet ordered the other people, according to the Holy Quran, other people must obey him. Ya ayyuhal ladzina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u
Rasul
wa ulil amri minkum. Here it means that Muslims must obey because it is order of the God. It is the legitimate power. And of course, we had the third layer also. In Quran we read that وَيُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Here it means that by talking, they were trying to distinguish the light of Allah. It means indirect way.
In indirect way.
Yeah.
Professor, please hold on to this very important discussion now, because we are now getting into the detail. But we'll continue our conversation just after a short break. So please stay with us, viewers. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back, viewers. Thanks very much for staying with us. You're watching Islamic Studies, and we're discussing Islam and politics with our guest in the studio, Professor Behrouzi from the University of Bakr al-Ulum. And sir, just before the break, you mentioned very nicely two very beautiful verses from the Holy Quran regarding obedience, but obedience, of course, to the ultimate reality being Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the legitimate power that gives power to all other things. But you did mention, of course, Pharaoh, which was very interesting, because we seem to be in the time of the pharaohs again because of imperial politics. But that, again, I'll leave for another session. I don't want to touch on that just now. But please carry on with your just giving us the general idea of the distinguishing between authoritarian politics and, as you quite rightly point out, the more legitimate politics, the more divine concept of politics.
Yeah. Anyway, if we want to summarize our discussion, we can give one formula for political action.
Sure.
Political action is the power relationship between the people in society, and one side orders and other side obeys.
Sure.
And it may be in direct and obvious use of the force. We call this kind of a power as a force. Maybe some kind of politics like Pharaoh.
Yes. Or what we refer today in today's term as a dictatorship, for
dictatorship,
example.
Dictatorship. Yes. Tyranny and
tyranny,
absolutism.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah? This kind of the politics, they use direct force. But in institutionalized form of the power,
the form of the politics,
all the side of the society, all the people know their position.
Yeah.
For example, it is clear who must order and who must obey.
Sure.
And in this institutionalized and conventionalized way, it is legitimate power.
Sure.
Yeah.
And when you talk about it in an Islamic context, of course, you're talking about political jurisprudence, because we are talking about laying out the according to the Sharia exactly what the power relationship is. Because, of course, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, right at the outset of Islam, used to give covenants. He used to give agreements and treaties.
Yeah.
So it laid out the legal framework through which he explained this. Yeah.
Of course. Authority and the source of this authority and legitimate authority in Islamic studies is Sharia.
Sharia.
Yeah, we must explain it.
Yes,
anyway,
of course.
But there is a similarity in all the studies that political action is obeying and ordering.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In Islam, it is also accepted, because some people are imams and leaders, and other people
are followers.
Obedience, or we call in Islamic context as a ma'mum.
Ma'mum,
the ma'mum is every person obeys and follows the imam. Yeah.
Yes.
In Islamic and in Quranic texts also, it is accepted. We have some people, we call them as an imam, and other people, they are followers, or they obey and follow the imam.
Yes.
But what is the difference? How can we distinguish Islamic politics, Islamic conception of politics, from other schools of the
thought? Thank you, Professor,
like,
because that was
liberalism.
The next stage of our discussion.
Yeah, to come back to our discussion in this program.
Problem, yes.
The difference is not in the way and the form. In all the forms of the politics, the one person orders and other obeys.
Yes, but this is the basic
formula. It is the form of the politics.
Sure.
And but the this difference is the goal of the politics.
Yes.
Why one side orders and other people obey?
Obey. Yeah.
What is the goal of this order and obedience? And here we can find all different schools of the political thought. We can categorize them in three groups, right. three main groups. At the first group, the goal of the first group or first understanding of politics is that the goal of the power is power itself.
Absolutely, yes, power, yeah. Absolute power.
For power.
Or as we say in English, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what
here
they talk about.
Here is power,
yeah.
For power. Power
for the sake of power.
Interest,
yes.
Power for temporal achievements, yeah?
Very nice.
Here,
yes.
This kind of a power, this kind of a political action is not accepted in Islamic context.
No.
It is Machiavellian,
yes.
Approach.
We absolutely.
We cannot accept. Yeah, we reject this kind of understanding of politics.
Sure.
And the second kind of the politics by its goal is the power, the aim of the power is establishing security and order.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Some people think about the politics and political action, and one orders, other obeys him because to achieve and establish security and order in society.
Of course.
Even Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha, when confronting with Khawarij, he tell they were rejecting the politics and government in society. But Imam Ali insisted that in every society, politics and government is necessary. According to this hadith of Imam Ali, peace be upon him,
yes.
Having politics, having government in every society, it is necessary.
Absolutely.
Even maybe the governor is good or bad. Here Imam Ali.
The system is very important.
Imam Ali here, talking about the necessity of the power and politics and government, not which kind of the government is good or bad.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Here it means that the aim of the politics is only establishing security and order. Yeah. Of course, we find liberalism or socialism.
Sure.
The
sure.
aim of the politics in these schools of the thought, these are not the obtaining and achieving the power.
No.
Here, the aim of the political action is only establishing order
and in society.
And order and security.
Sure.
Yeah. Of course, socialism, by resorting to the justice, tries to establish order and security. And liberalism, by resorting to the freedom,
sure.
tries to establish order and security.
Sure.
Of course, it is good and better than the first one.
It is?
Because at first one, no regulation for using the power,
no.
Only power for power.
Power's sake.
In that way, governor killed their sons, their sister, their father, and a lot of bad things we had in history.
Of course.
But the second one is better, but it is necessary, but not complete.
No.
In Islamic understanding about the politics, we do not consider this goal sufficient. It is not sufficient.
Not sufficient.
Because after establishing security and order, we must ask what is the main goal of the political action? Why Imam orders and different other people obeys him? Because here the goal is more and more beautiful and complete and transcendent.
Transcendent.
And it is obtaining the salvation and virtue. Yeah.
Salvation and
this
virtue.
This is our definition about the
very
Islamic
interesting,
politics.
Sir. Because really, you've now what they say in English, you open a can of worms here, because here we are talking about a politics which really the world, even at this moment, even today, does not understand this type of politics. The idea of the politics of virtue and salvation, or the as we say, the politics of justice in terms of bringing balance to society, you know, because at this moment in time, the politics is such that there is huge inequality throughout the world.
Yeah, this was the message of Islamic revolution that introduced this idea for the world. Yeah,
very beautiful.
Of course, this idea originates from the Holy Quran.
Of course,
when Holy Quran talks about the prophets, call them وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَيْمَّةً يَحْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. Here, imams or the leaders, they not try to practice political action for achieving the power. Power for power, power for interest.
Sure.
And even they were not trying to handle politics for only establishing justice or security and order. They had a more and more complete goal. Their goal was perfecting perfection and purifying people, as you mentioned at the beginning of the our program.
Yes,
here,
you.
Virtue, they tried to make people more virtuous and more complete. And if we try to summarize Islamic conception of politics, is that the form is the same in other different schools of thought.
Sure.
And the form is that one side orders and others obey. But the goal is different. The goal is not obtaining power and more power. The goal is not only obtaining and establishing security and order, but the main or the main goal is achieving virtuous man, virtuous attitude for the human beings, and perfecting the people. And this is the idea of the Islamic politics. And in this regard, Imam Ali is the best politician.
Of course he
tried to make people perfect. Our Holy Prophet is the real politician. Because
he's the real statesman.
He didn't use microcy or other things for disguise people. He tried to guide people. He tried to complete the people. We have, let me mention one other hadith from Imam Ali,
peace be upon him.
He, when he writing to his governor Osman ibn Hunayf, mentions in this letter that Ala inna lakulli ma'mumin imam. Understand, Osman ibn Hunayf, that every follower must have one guide and imam. Follow him and get benefit from his light of knowledge. Yeah, imams and the function of the imam is to lead the people. So in Islamic and especially Ahlul Bayt theory of the politics, it is very important. The politics is for the guiding the people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And it is the real and pure and the virtuous politics in Islam that Islamic revolution tried, Imam Khomeini, tried to introduce this idea to the world, and it is very important. Of course, it was amazing and it was interesting for the scholars. For example, we find Michel Foucault, one French scholar and postmodern scholar, during the revolution, came to Iran, especially came to Qom city, to see what is happening in Iran. And when Michel Foucault came to Iran, saw that, new kind of the politics is emerging in Qom, in Iran, and by Islamic revolution. And this was the returning the virtuous attitudes of the human beings to the politics.
Sure.
In modern era, politics only for obtaining power, and it was rejected.
Sure.
And they were thinking in liberalism that politics and political action is only for establishing order and security. We accept this, But it is not sufficient. It is necessary, but not sufficient.
Not sufficient.
And the sufficient idea is that the governor and government must try to raise the people, to teach the people, to complete the people. And this is the meaning of the politics in Islamic idea.
Thank you very much indeed, Professor, for that wonderful summary you gave right at the end of your discussion there. But really, I thank you a lot for your valuable time in the program. Thank you for this contribution towards Islam and politics. And it just leaves me to thank our viewers for watching today. I hope you've benefited from the program and understood the concept of political virtue or the politics of virtue. But we'll carry on with another session on this particular topic, very important topic, and we'll do that in the next session. But it just leaves me to say, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you very much for watching today, and goodbye.